Let us begin with prayer. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your mercy to us in Christ. We thank you for the things that we have been learning regarding the deceitfulness of sin, the types of traps that we can fall into. And we pray that you would grant us further insight this evening as we study this lesson. Please forgive our sins, we ask in Christ's name. Amen. Okay, before we begin looking at the questions and answers, I'm going to read from 1 John chapter 2. Yep. I announced something like that one time, and somebody started reading from the gospel, and he said, well, it was the 1 John I came to. So, but 1 John chapter 2, verse 15. Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world is passing away, and the lust of it. But he who does the will of God abides forever. Okay, we're looking at chapter 11 tonight, which in your book is on page 93. And everybody, does everybody have a handout from last week? Okay. All right. So chapter 11 is about keeping the heart. And question number one is, what is the second thing that James attributes to deceitful working of sin in James 1:14?
Enticement.
Okay. Yeah, we're going to be looking at that. So we're looking at enticement and when it comes to that. Question number two is a quote. The mind is drawn away from duty and the blank are blank to sin.
Affections and vices to sin.
Okay. All right, so we're going to continue to look. Owen is looking at the mind and the affections of the emotions. And next week it's going to be the will. So we're looking at every aspect of man and how sin relates to each one of those parts of us. How sin entices. Tonight we're talking about the heart. Next week we're going to talk about the will of man. And so there are those things. So question three is, what is to be enticed? And question 3A is, the blank have been enticed when we frequently blank.
Affections.
Imagine the object we have been attracted to. Okay. So what he's getting at here is that particular thing that catches your attention that you can't let go of. It keeps coming back to your mind. Go all the way back once again, Genesis chapter 3. Eve looks on the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And part of the enticement there is the fact that she desires it. She sees it as desirable to make one wise. So it's got all these attributes. We're going to talk more about that next week as well. Keep coming back, because that's the original temptation of Satan, and he hadn't really gotten off of ground zero. He uses it because it's effective. And so there are things about that original temptation we're going to look at again and again in this lesson. All right. B, Owen mentions the lust of the eyes, meaning the fixing of the blank on the thing.
Imagination.
Okay. Lust of the eyes. All right. For Eve, it was the fruit, whatever that happened to be. For us, it can be anything that is alluring to our particular sinful desires, whatever that might be. So for some people, it's money. For other people, it is things that they covet that people have. It can be sexual sin. It can be any kind of thing like that that just kind of hangs out in the mind. And the more it hangs out there and the more you entertain it hanging out there, the greater influence it has over you. All right. See, how does the illustration of Achan from Joshua 7:21 demonstrate this? We're going to look at Achan several times. Let's look at that right now. Joshua 7:21.
Joshua
Somebody read that to us, please.
When I saw among the spoils a beautiful Babylonian garment, 200 shekels of silver and a wedge of gold weighing 50 shekels, I coveted them and took them. And there they are, hidden in the earth, in the midst of my tent, with the silver under it.
Okay, so this was, of course, where God had commanded through Joshua for the people not to covet the possessions of the people, but to destroy them altogether. And Achan did not obey that. He thought he could get away with it. He could hide it. And so notice he's hidden it from man, but obviously he hasn't hidden it from God. And because of that, they're defeated at Ai, completely routed because of Achan's sin. And he thought he could get away with it. But notice he says he coveted it. He saw it. It was alluring to him, and he coveted it. He took it, and he hid it from the eyes of men. All right. D. The enticement is heightened when the mind is blank.
Persuaded to dwell on the object of the secret presence of that pleasure.
Okay. And he goes on and says, thoughts about forbidden objects are always sinful, yet they may exist when the consent of the will to sin has not been given. He's going to talk a lot about the consent of the will in the next chapter. But these types of things can hang out without our realizing it sometimes. Or we do realize it and we don't want to banish it. And so we kind of toy with those types of sin. E, when we are willing to blank, our affections are entangled to it.
Extenuate sin?
Yeah. What's he mean by extenuating sin?
That's a good question.
Hanging on to it, doing it more repeatedly.
Okay.
Extenuate sin. Extenuate means to extend.
Giving excuses for it also. So when you extenuate sin, you're giving yourself excuses to hang on to it as well. When he talks about thoughts that diminish sin to the mind is where he's talking about extenuating it. So we're willing to hang on to it. We're entertaining it. And we're beginning to make excuses. This sin's not as bad as it sounds like it is. There are lots of other people that do this and God doesn't do anything to them. And, you know, those types of thoughts that can creep into your mind. Or it's not as bad as so-and-so down the street. He's involved in something else.
It's just a little one.
Yes, just a little one. That kind of thing. Okay. And F, when the soul is willing to be tempted, it has lost blank.
Marriage affection to Christ.
Okay. Now, we've been talking about union with Christ, and one of the principal things that's used to describe union with Christ is we as the church are the bride and Christ is the bridegroom. And so we are espoused to Christ, we're married to Christ in that way, and we ought to be, as a husband or a wife ought to be, faithful to our spouse. But when we entertain sin like that, it is spiritual adultery. Jeremiah uses that term, adultery, often to describe the sin that the people are committing against God, committing adultery against God by going after foreign gods. And so any type of thing that becomes an idol in our heart, any type of sin that tempts us away from wholehearted, single-hearted commitment to God is that type of enticement. And we have to be extremely careful about that. We're down to G, I think, right? Or is that?
Yes.
Okay. Blank. The will has not yet blank, but the whole soul is blank.
Is not yet consented, but the whole soul is inclined that way.
Okay. All right. Owen really digs deep into sin. when he talks about this, because he's talking about things that we don't often talk about. The next chapter goes into detail in the same manner here, where it's entirely possible for us, where we haven't really consented to it, but already we're inclined toward it. And basically what he's going to say in the next chapter is, once our will has been persuaded to sin, there is nothing within us that will stop us from sinning except for God from the outside stopping us by his providential working. And he does that sometimes, but sometimes he lets us run ahead and sin. All right. Question number 4, how sin does this? All right. A, sin uses its blank to distract us from blank.
Its former victories to distract us from our watchfulness.
Okay. All right. In connection with that, B is, sin first draws off and diverts blank by blank and then blank.
Diverts the mind.
Okay.
False reasonings, pretenses, and casts its net from affections to entanglement.
Okay, all right. So what he's talking about sin here working on us in such a way that it can, just like Satan does, it can twist right and wrong in our thinking, so that we can convince ourselves of the wrong things. We can convince ourselves that right is wrong and wrong is right if we're not careful. Sin takes advantage of that. There are all kinds of false reasonings, like, you know, said it's just a little sin, it doesn't really matter, God's grace is there, if I sin, will not grace abound? And I mean, there are all kinds of ridiculous arguments we can use that are not right, obviously. But we can get caught up in that. And then once we allow our minds to dwell on those things, our heart begins to go after them as well. That's what he's saying here. And it doesn't matter. The heart can direct the mind, and the mind can direct the heart. And once the will gives in, you're in trouble. All right. C, it presents sins as blank to the blank. Okay, all right. Once again, this was what was presented to Eve. Basically, Satan said to Eve that the fruit was desirable to make a person wise. Eve dwelt on that, and that was one of the things that tempted her to give in, thinking about the desirability of it without thinking of the consequences at all.
Like those pigs, they thought that corn was good.
Little did they know. Okay. D, sin, seeking to entangle the soul, uses blank to engage blank, misrepresenting the blank. Go ahead.
Sorry, the imagination to engage the heart and misrepresenting the false pain of beauty or pretended satisfaction of sin.
Okay. The false pain of beauty, when you go through Proverbs, the godly father instructs his son several places to watch out for the woman who's going to lead him astray.
Seductress.
And there's when you read false painted beauty here, that's one of the types of things that you're thinking about, is that type
not
of seduction.
Not let her allure you with her eyelids.
Yeah. Okay. E, sin deceitfully hides blank, covering it as bait, the hook.
The danger that attends sin.
Okay. Yeah. Y'all been fishing, so you know what that's all about. In order to catch a fish, you don't just throw a bare hook in there, because the fish are not going to be attracted to the hook, but you throw bait in with the hook in it, and the fish is attracted to whatever the bait is. Well, sin is like that. There's some type of bait that's involved that attracts us, and what we don't realize is the danger of getting caught by that sin. F. Sin is able to distract the mind and affections with the desirability of sin so that they do not actually and practically blank.
Contemplation of
Go ahead.
Contemplate the danger.
Yeah, contemplate the danger.
I couldn't hear when you were about to start out.
All right, contemplate the danger. Yeah. So it part of sin's deceitfulness is its ability to distract us from thinking correctly so that we don't see the danger, we don't see that this is a trap, any of those types of things. So
camouflage.
Yeah. Yeah. Excellently. How does Eve serve as an example of this?
She called to mind the danger, quickly laid aside the sense of danger when enticed by Satan, or comforted herself in believing Satan's lies.
Okay. So once again, depends on...
She rationalized.
She rationalized, and she was thinking that her greatest enemy was actually a friend. Mm-hmm. And gave him a hearing, which she never should have done in the first place. Okay. And on the back page, number 2, how does David serve as an example of this?
He's beguiled by lust and then he despised the Lord's commandment.
Okay. So he obviously, as a man after God's own heart, he knew that what he was contemplating was wrong. It was sinful. And yet, his lust overrode his sense of morality, his sense, just period. It overrode his sense so that he very definitely gave in too easily to that temptation without resisting it. And then, of course, once he had gone and committed sin with Bathsheba, and he then tried to cover up that sin and ultimately put himself in a situation where he approved of and commanded murder in order to try to hide his sin. So one thing we're going to see in the next one is there's never one temptation all by itself, but one temptation will often lead to another temptation, and one sin will lead to a greater sin. And so Owen says in the next chapter, see if I can find it. I thought it was a great quote. See if I can find it. Yielding of the will to sin. Yeah, on page 107, just below the middle of the page, he says, this paragraph's really good. This one that starts, and this is how sin often destroys souls that seem to have made good progress in the ways of God. When it has entangled them with one temptation and brought the will to consent to it, that leads to another temptation, either by neglect of some duty or to refuse more light. And commonly, here's the thing that I was really struck by, commonly the occasion of men's falling away entirely from God is not that which first entangled them. In other words, the first sin isn't the one that led you astray. It was what came after and what came after and what came after. That's what he's getting at there. Okay, so coming back to where we actually are studying tonight. On page 96, Owen lists several things that will serve to divert the mind from the real danger that threatens. What are they?
What question are you
doing? We're on G, on the back page, toward the top. G on page 96. Okay.
Hopes of pardon, promises of future repentance.
Okay.
Is that where it is? The present.
Yeah. Yeah.
Inopportunity of lust, suitable occasions and opportunities, surprise assaults, the mitigation, extenuation of sin, balancing duties against sins, fixing the imagination on present objects, the prospect of enjoying lust to the uttermost with its pleasures and profits.
Okay. Yeah, all of those things.
On things above, not on things on the earth. Oh, I'm in G down here.
Yeah, you're down a little bit further.
G.
We will get there in a minute.
You work by yourself.
Yeah, we will get there in a minute. All right, thank you, Becky. How may we escape? A. Let us take heed to blank. Okay. Okay, the things that we set our affection on, the things that we set our desire on, what we long for, we have to be very careful about those things. That whatever it is that we long for must be something that God approves of and permits us to have. There might be something God approves of that he doesn't permit us in particular to have. But generally, if he approves of it and permits us to have it, then that's a good thing. But we too often set our affections on things that either we shouldn't have at all, or that God doesn't permit us as individuals to have because of our circumstances or our situation. All right. B. The wise man of Proverbs 4:23 tells us to blank.
Keep the heart well in diligence.
Okay. Once again, there's so many wonderful proverbs, and that one, there's a lot in Proverbs about the heart and the dangers that exist when we allow our heart to go its own way. And so we have to be really mindful of what the heart is doing. C, above all these things, attend to the keeping of blank, that it is not entangled with sin.
Heart.
Okay, once again. D, guard your affections as to their blank.
Object.
I'm sorry, I didn't hear you. Okay. Yes, that's correct. What you set your affections on. And E, how does Colossians 3:2 relate to this?
Well, we're told, go ahead.
Mortification of sin.
We're told to set our affections on heavenly things and not on things of the earth.
Right, right.
Eternal versus temporal.
Right. Because no matter how wonderful and alluring and beautiful and sparkly it is here, you can't take it with you. It's going to be burned up when Christ comes back anyway, and what awaits us is so much better that we can't even begin to imagine what that is. So it's really foolish to set your affections on things that you know will never last when what awaits Christians is better than we can even imagine what it's like.
What does it profit a man to gain the whole world and
lose his soul? Yeah, absolutely. Okay. F, what are some of the things Owen says should enjoy first place in your heart?
God and his beauty and his glory.
Okay.
The Lord Jesus Christ.
Yes. Okay.
Gospel mysteries.
Right.
Gospel blessings.
Yeah.
Right.
Grace and glory.
Okay. And the promises that are, yeah. And add to all that the promises that are ours when Christ returns as well. So we've got all of those things. All right. H, what are the baits and pleasures of this world?
You missed G.
I missed the one that Ellis answered already. What particular consideration does Owen say you should set your affections on?
Things above and not on things of the earth.
Okay.
Yeah,
on the cross of Christ and on the things above. That's right. Okay. Very good. All right. The more we contemplate the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ, the more it ought to make us hate our sin, because it was our sin that took Christ to the cross, and it's our sin that just is constantly grieves the Holy Spirit and so on. So we should not put our affections on things like that. We should set our affections on the cross and on heavenly objects. H, what are the baits and pleasures of this world?
Flesh, eyes,
pride of life. Okay, the passage I read to start the thing with. All of those things are baits and pleasures of this world. I, meditate on the blank of sin as seen in the blank, and the blank. That's a fill in the blank.
Meditate on the violence, the guilt, the punishment of sin is seen in the cross, the blood, and the death of Christ.
Okay, okay. All right. So on the negative side of it, it's our guiltiness, the vileness of our sin, our guiltiness, and the punishment that is due us. And all of that was taken by Christ on the cross. And therefore, we meditate on his blood, his death, his resurrection, all of that. All right. Jay, keep your affections toward blank in full blank. Okay. All right. K, if they're not constantly attended to, they will blank and sin lies in wait.
Decay,
exactly. Okay, so I've mentioned this several times in sermons and other studies. You never stand still in the Christian life. It's not like you're standing on a sidewalk where you can stand on the sidewalk, you know, for hours or days. You are more figuratively in a boat, and you're being swept out to sea. The current is going out, and instead of staying in one spot, you're being pulled out to sea. And so the Christian life is rowing hard, even to stay at the same place where you started, much less to make any progress. So we can't. The Christian life requires effort. Because otherwise, it talks here about decaying. If we don't attend to our affections, they will decay. And that means that they'll stop loving the things that God sets before us and begin to do what the world is, which is to love the things of the world. All right. And finally, yeah, well, we're down to the last one, aren't we? We should always trust our hearts. True or false?
Greg can answer that.
Yeah. All right. Desperately.
I knew it.
All right.
I knew it, Greg.
You and Jeremiah. Excellent. Okay, that's exactly right. So I have to be very careful that we don't trust our hearts, because our hearts can lead us completely astray. Our hearts need to constantly be renewed. Our hearts need to constantly be to be reset by the standard of Scripture. Otherwise, we will drift away. We'll drift into calling good evil and evil good. All right.
We need to let our consciences be our conscience.
Yeah. Only if you've got a little talking cricket that can act for you. Yeah. All right. Anybody have any questions?
Well, even though we can't set our affections on the things of the world, but we can enjoy the things that God gives us.
Yes, yes, we can.
Yes, and we should.
Yes, we can.
Not worshiping them. But
yeah, if the Lord has given us things that are delightful, we should enjoy those things that are delightful. It's only when they begin to become idolatrous, when they take precedence over God, when we would rather have whatever that is that He has given us than Him. That's the danger. Yeah, you're exactly right, though. It's not. We're not ascetics in the sense that we don't believe that we have nothing to do with the world. We try to withdraw totally from the world, but rather we use the world without abusing it, as Paul says, without being caught by it. Okay, let's pray. We thank you, Heavenly Father, as we think about these different things that we've looked at tonight regarding the allure of sin upon our hearts. And we pray that you would bless us to be able to guard our hearts and our affections well, and to be constantly on the alert for those things that do seek to lead us astray. Please forgive our sins and bless us as we continue our study. We ask in Christ's name. Amen.
Amen. Yeah.